One of the main challenges is the lack of access to the country and to the authorities. The government of the DPRK has a principal stance against the resolution of the United Nations which created the mandate. So at the moment I'm trying to face this challenge, trying to reach out to the authorities, and at the same time, of course, collecting information from other sources. And the challenge, therefore, is to try to talk to the authorities, to try to build trust and confidence with them. For example, I am a special reporter who is based in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. I live there. I do not represent the interests of any state in the world, and my task is to try to help the government to improve the human rights of the people. So I am unbiased, impartial, neutral, etc. So I hope the government of the DPRK gradually understands that it will be in their benefit to engage with me.
What is, in your opinion, the best strategy in order to create a dialogue with the government of Korea?
What it is interesting of my strategy is that I am now trying to broaden the scope of engagement between the government of the DPRK and the whole human rights mechanisms, not only my mandate as a country's mandate holder, but maybe some other human rights mechanisms. For example, very recently, the DPRK government accepted a visit of a thematic rapporteur, special rapporteur, to the country. And this is the special rapporteur for the rights of people with disabilities. So my colleague, Catalina de Vandas, she visited the country, she carried out a mission, she had interviews with the authorities. This is a small step forward. The challenge is to get some others involved in this strategy of engagement, of course with a very important condition, which is to do it in coordination, because we don't want my mandate to be undermined, to be diluted, and to be put aside.
Given the tensions and increased sanctions over North Korea's nuclear program, what impact is all this having on human rights there?
It is a critical responsibility, in my opinion, as a human rights envoy, that the Security Council has in this respect. So while passing new sanctions against the DPRK, what I believe is that the Security Council, at the same time, should establish a mechanism to verify to what extent these sanctions are having a negative impact. We have experiences in the past on how sanctions have a negative impact. I'm talking about the United Nations as a system, we have a responsibility to bear that in mind and to avoid any negative impact. The problem at the moment is that here in New York, where the Security Council stands and also the General Assembly, the policy in regards to the problem of nuclearization of North Korea is to isolate at maximum pressure the government and the country of the DPRK. This means, in respect to human rights, that all these challenges in terms of trying to reach out to the authorities and build bridges with the authorities get much more complicated, because there is a strong policy here in New York towards isolating through maximum pressure the government of the DPRK, with the risk that these sanctions will have a negative impact on the ordinary people.
Has the government of North Korea given you any cooperation?
Again, the government doesn't want to relate to me, to the country mandate holders. At the same time, they are trying to open cooperation with a thematic rapporteur. They are also starting to cooperate with treaty bodies which are party of, like the Child's Committee or the CEDAW convention. They participated in the UPR process. So I, as a human rights reporter, I have the responsibility to look also into those trends in regards to cooperation that the government is taking.
What are the reasons why they opened the door somehow to some reporters?
I cannot speak about the reasons because we don't talk. I cannot presume or speculate or say anything that I don't have clear evidence to defend it. So what are the reasons? Maybe it's pressure. Maybe it's that they're realizing that there is time for them to start cooperating with, you know, with their own obligations as a United Nations member. So they also have a responsibility, and they might be realizing that now is the time for them to start cooperating. I cannot speculate on the reasons. What I can really state it is that it's very interesting what is happening. We need to look into that and see where there are opportunities to deepen that cooperation.
Do you have any relationship with experts or people who are in North Korea who might help you in creating this dialogue?
There are many, many different stakeholders who are working in regards to the situation of human rights in the DPRK. And you have different kind of actors. You have those who are trying to push for accountability measures for serious crimes against humanity. And there are some others who are working even on the ground in the DPRK and on the humanitarian side. So I am connected with both of these group of organizations and experts and people who know. And I am calling for, you know, for their help, because at the end, even though the special rapporteur is held by only one person, but one individual, the challenge entails a collective effort and involves many, many people. So I am connected with these people, these organizations. I receive information, I receive a report. This is part of my job, actually.
Is there something further you want to tell to our audience?
Yes. The United Nations, as a whole, has expressed serious concerns about the human rights situation in the DPRK in different areas. Whether it is the situation in political prison camps, whether it is the restrictions in freedom of expression or access to information. And the United Nations at the same time has established this mandate that I'm holding. To what end? To reach out to the authorities and to try to help the authorities to gradually transform certain policies which affect human rights. In the middle of all this initiative in regards to the human rights situation, we have the serious geopolitical crisis coming from the nuclearization in the Korean Peninsula, coming from the reaction of superpowers, where the hostilities have escalated to an extreme which is very risky, very dangerous. And I then will take the opportunity to reinforce my call for dialogue, for diplomatic solution, according to the UN Charter, which calls for this, for peace, dialogue, and diplomatic solution.